Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the March 17th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 72 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be talking Trans Am, ARCA, IndyCar, late models, a little bit of NHRA, and more. Our first topic of discussion tonight is a little bit of a review of the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by Firestone. The event took place this past weekend at the St. Petersburg Road Course there, right on the streets of St. Petersburg near the Albert Witted Airport, surrounding the Salvador Dali Museum and along the shores of Tampa Bay. It was quite an eventful weekend, I suppose you'd call it. Start out on Friday with the ultimate pole sitter of the race, Will Power, who hit the wall during morning practice at roughly 11 o'clock in the morning, totally destroying the what would be the passenger side of his Verizon machine. Got it even more interesting on Saturday when Will Power went out and set a new track record for the Speedway, capturing the pole position. Later on Saturday, it was determined that Will Power might be suffering from a concussion, and he was asked and requested to skip the race on Sunday. There were an Orioles survey, who I'm sure was wandering around through the pit area looking for a ride in the series and was more than happy to take it. And Orioles survey competed in the race there on Sunday, finishing towards the back of the field, but he still had a fairly successful race considering he hasn't run until in IndyCar since late last year. I think it was like September or something that he ran last year. He ran a fill-in position. But yesterday, Will Power reported to the University of Miami for his concussion protocol, and it was found that he had not suffered a concussion, but instead was suffering from a severe inner ear infection, which had been mentioned previously by Tim Sindrick, the competition director for Penske Racing, who stated that might be part of the issue with Will Power, but he definitely looked rather ill this weekend. He looked really bad there on Saturday after he got the pole time. So it's definitely a pretty bad infection. Hopefully he's able to recover from it well. I know he's been battling it for some time now, and I myself have suffered from an inner ear infection. I know that it's not a very good thing. Gets you dizzy, nausea, all sorts of fun stuff like that. So hopefully he has a quick and speedy recovery, but you never know. He does have the best doctors in the sport working on him. Terry Trammell there of IndyCar, saw him the other day. So hopefully he's going to be doing well, and he'll be ready to race when they come out in the beginning of April for their next race, which is, what, like 2 weeks from now. So that was a pretty good thing there. I did a series of articles covering the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, covering all the different on-track action. They had a ton of on-track action for that weekend, basically from 8 a.m. in the morning until well after 5 at night on both Saturday and Sunday. Even on Friday, did on-track activity going on. Numerous races in the Mazda Road to Indy, which includes the U.S. Formula 2000, the Indy Lights, and the Pro Mazda Series. They also had competition there from the Stadium Super Trucks, which is the series that's run by Robbie Gordon, that we mentioned a little bit last week when we were talking with Missy Linker about the preview of the race. Personally, I think that the Stadium Super Trucks weren't quite as exciting as they were last year. Now, I don't know what the reason for that was, but I think part of the reason is the fact that they seem to be getting a little bit more professional in the way that they're driving. But they definitely can have fun, and that was evident as well. They were, because there's no other series in the IndyCar paddock that uses huge jumps in the as part of the race course. So that was pretty impressive. I got some pretty good pictures of that. I did post to Speedway Digest as well as to the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder page. So be sure to check those out. As well, the action on track was pretty impressive. There aren't many other series where the guy who finishes in sixth place does as good of a burnout, if not better, than the one who finishes on the in the lead of the race. Matt Brabham finished in sixth place for the last race of the Stadium Super Truck Series of the weekend, and he was awesome when he did that. It was impressive. It was pretty cool, and it's definitely a different thing considering Matt Brabham is one of the most successful drivers in the Mazda Road Indy to come out of that program, and now basically he's going around with the Stadium Super Trucks basically to keep himself active in the sport until his race at the Indy 500 in the month of May. We hope that he has a great time in Indianapolis. I know he's going to have a wonderful career. He is a local here, born in South Florida, although he was raised in Australia, and now he lives in Indianapolis. But when he was born, his father, the great Jeff Brabham, lived in Manalapan, only a few miles from where I lived at the time. And that was always pretty cool to see his name there, Jeff Brabham, from Manalapan, Florida. The son of Jack Brabham. Jeff Brabham is Jack Brabham, the great Formula One driver. So it's a long racing pedigree that Matt Brabham comes from, and he's going to have a long and successful career in the sport. This weekend is the NHRA Gator Nationals taking place in Gainesville, Florida, at the Gainesville Raceway, the Amalie Oil Gator Nationals. They start tomorrow, in fact. They're going to have the racing will be broadcast on Fox Sports tomorrow night. I believe it's at 9 p.m. They also have a highlight show on Saturday. And on Sunday, they have 3 hours of coverage, also on Fox Sports. Check your local listings for exact times and channel. But I will be traveling up there for the Gator Nationals this year. It is my first time in roughly 10 years since I've been to the track there in Gainesville. I'm hoping for wonderful weather. The weather forecast is not the best, but since it is raining there in Gainesville right now, which is earlier than they had originally predicted, I'm hoping that the rain will move out of there by Saturday. It may not be a wonderful thing for tomorrow's action on track, but we shall see. We've already scheduled some new guests for next weekend, for next week's event on Thursday night. We're going to be reviewing the Gator Nationals there. We have a pro stock driver, also a member of the Top Fuel paddock. We're working on getting a funny car driver. So it should be an awesome show. We invite you to tune in next week, same time, same channel. Tonight we're going to be reviewing a little bit about the Trans Am series, which has which just had a race recently at Sebring, at the Sebring International Raceway. Sebring is also where the IMSA WeatherTech Championship is competing this weekend. They had racing starting today as well. They'll be racing there tomorrow. They have the 12 hours of Sebring scheduled for Saturday. The weather forecast for Sebring is also not really good. But as I stated, since their front seems to have arrived a little bit earlier than anticipated, there is a chance that the weather will be a little bit better in Sebring, although Sebring is roughly 100 miles further south in the state than Gainesville is. So the timing of the front will be a little bit different. But it should be a pretty good race there in Sebring this year. They have just under 50 cars who are going to be competing there for the top level of competition. I did a bunch of articles on that as well. You can check that out. Those were posted 2 days ago. Actually, I think I posted most of them yesterday. There were a couple posted the other day. I have some more that are scheduled to be going online this evening as well. But you can check those out on SpeedwayDigest.com in the Racing News section. whole bunch of competition going on there this weekend, including the Porsche Cup, the lights racing, which they don't have all the time, the Cooper Tires lights presented by Mazda. And, of course, the prototypes and the GTs. That was also kind of interesting last weekend at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, the GT racing there, which is under the Pirelli World Challenge banner. The head of that currently, the head of SCCA Pro Racing, is Derek Walker, who all of you will remember was the head of IndyCar. Before that, he had an IndyCar team. He raced in IMSA as the head of Team Falcon Tire. We actually had a few moments to talk with Walker last weekend. He was kind of unsure about how his role at the SCCA Pro Racing was going to go, but he had high hopes that it was good. He said he still had lots of friends in the IndyCar paddock, and it seemed like he had left on definitely not on his own terms, but on terms that you can understand the reasoning why he had to leave the sport in that way. But it should be an interesting season for the Pirelli World Challenge. They had a huge amount of cars there. Most of those are also the GT3 spec, is similar to the cars in IMSA. So I invite you to check that out. I did a few articles on that the other day as well on SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section. So be sure to check that out. Our first guest this evening is Paul Fix. Paul Fix is a professional race car driver based in New York, and has been competing in the SCCA Pro Trans Am Series since 2000. He started racing in 1992. Fix has several wins, podium finishes, and championships during his career, and we are pleased to welcome him to the program now. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Not too bad. I know you recently returned from racing at Sebring in the Trans Am Series. How'd the race go there?
Well, Sebring was a very historic event. As maybe some of your listeners know, the celebration of 50 years of Trans Am series, the longest-running road racing series in North America, that started in 1966. So it was a very big event. I missed the pole by about 2/1000. It was very, very strange. But we had a good race. We had great weather. As you know, Sebring is a real challenging track with the changes in surface and so forth. But with about 5 laps to go, we had an event, unfortunately. and I'll describe it for your listeners. I had drafted the leader down the back straight with every intention of passing, and had a great line into turn 17, which is the big 180-degree corner at the end of the track. And doesn't the leader spin in front of me?
Mm.
So it was very unfortunate. I either chose right or left in that split second at a 100 and whatever miles an hour, and got off onto the marbles and impacted the tire wall, unfortunately. So that was an end of the day that had some big light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, towards the end of the race. So that's the start of my 2016 season.
What are your goals for this season?
Well, we are signed to do the whole season in Trans Am in the number 50 Ave Corvette. And we intend to win the championship. We were extremely close last year, so we're going to carry that momentum forward and hit all 12 races with all the determination that we had last year. And by the way, we're running, we changed car numbers this year. I know Tony Ave, who's the team owner and constructor, has run the number 4 for years and years. But this year we changed it up We're running the number 50 in celebration of the 50th anniversary. So hopefully that'll bring me some luck and give us a little extra TV time, if you will. it's great to support the series, you know, after 50 years to be up front and looking for the season-end championship.
We all know the Trans Am series is on an upswing now. They've been getting a lot more press and getting a few more people to show up at the track, not a whole lot more. Why do you think people should come out and see the on-track action?
Well, you know, there's multiple divisions now, and the Trans Am cars, the TA class, which is the fastest class, is the extremely fast. You know, we're running 850 horse, 358 motors. And the competition is incredible. You know, it's nothing to start 40-some cars in the field and have close competition. And anybody who enjoys sports cars and the sound of thunder with our big V8s, it is a it's a great event to go to if your listeners are close by. You know, a 12-event series this year, all up and down the northeast, and the southeast, as well as far west as Brainerd, the historic track in Brainerd, Minnesota.
What's your favorite track to compete on?
Well, my home track is Watkins Glen, so that has to be my favorite. I used to own a driving school along with my wife, Driving Ambitions. We owned that driving school for 14 years at Watkins Glen. So that is my favorite track. Although, as most people know, Watkins Glen went through a big change starting last fall, and they have repaved and recurbed the whole track. So it will be a new challenge. While the layout is the same, the track surface and curbing will be different. So that'll be exciting for somebody like me that have been there, you know, since the mid-80s and competed there on a regular basis. It'll be a nice little change.
I know you've come down to the track at Homestead Miami Speedway, which is where NASCAR has their final event there. How do you like that track?
You know, Homestead, I was there for the first time last year, and it was a great event. It was a fairly technical track, too, similar to Daytona, where you're using that infield road course and then using that NASCAR 3-4 to come down the front straightaway. And it has a real nice banking on it in 3 and 4, and extremely technical through turns 3 through 5. So a fantastic track, great facility. The track surface was really good, and the competition was fantastic last year. I expect the same this year as well.
What's your most memorable racing moment?
Oh, boy. The one that sticks in my mind is more recent. I'll have to say, getting a call from the team owner, Tony Ave, back in 2013 on a Tuesday and saying, you know, we need you here at Lime Rock. Can you come for a seat fitting? I need you to drive the car. That weekend, it poured and rained like a monsoon. Qualified at the back of the field because I had no points. It was my first event back in a Trans Am car in a few years, and I ended up winning that race, passing the leader with about three to go.
And which race is what's the next event on the schedule?
Well, the next event will be early April. Will be at Road Atlanta. another favorite track, natural terrain road course. And I sat on the pole last year, set fastest lap, new track record there last year. So, again, we will be very dominant there, and it should be a fantastic event for the second of 12 this season.
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you best of luck this season and beyond.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, and have a nice evening.
You too.
Once again, that was Paul Fix, driver of the number 50 Tony Ave car in the Trans Am Series. Should be a good year for him in the series, and with his number 50 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the series, should be kind of an interesting thing to see. I did have the opportunity last season, as I mentioned briefly, to head down to the Homestead Miami Speedway for the Trans Am event, and I'm hoping to do that again this year. I know they've got some more things going on there this year with some other support series. They've got the historic cars. They also have a prototype series that's going to be traveling with them as well. So it should be a great race. And as you stated, there are 12 events on the schedule, so be sure to check it out at GoTransAm.com or follow them on Twitter at GoTransAm. And you can check out the Trans Am series celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. We're standing by for our next guest to call in, so we're going to take a brief break now with the musical serenade called Crazy About Sprint Cars from Ron Pistana and the Pit Crew.
Fenders, got a wing on top. So grab your ear.
Once again, that was Crazy About Sprint Cars by Ron Pisana and the Pit Crew. Be sure to check them out. You can look them up on Facebook and Google and all the other sorts of fun stuff there. Our next guest this evening is Bobby Perez. Perez started his racing career at the age of five in go-karts, working his way up into bandoleros and then legends cars.
And he began racing super late models and is racing the Northwest super late models and a few of the big shows in the Northwest. And I am super sorry if that's terrible, but I don't have the script right now because I'm technically on my phone while I'm driving, but I'm running really late, so shh, our secret.
That's not too bad. Hopefully he calls in a moment. I'm standing by for him now. While we're standing by, we'll go ahead and preview the Auto Club 400 in California.
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3-car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the room. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.
As I stated, we're standing by for our next guest to call in now. Should be calling any moment now, hopefully. The Auto Club 400 takes place this weekend at the California Speedway in Fontana. It should be a good race. Hopefully it's as close as last weekend's event. I didn't actually get the chance to watch last weekend's event, but I was listening to it on Sirius Satellite Radio as the MRN broadcast. It was quite the sounded like it was quite the event there. The ending was definitely spectacular. It was one of the closest races in NASCAR history. It's the same 1/100th of a second difference between the first and second place drivers as they had in Daytona earlier in the season. Those should be great events.
Sorry. Yes, very great event.
So how's the weather in Ephrata, Washington this evening?
You know, it's actually really good. It feels like spring. I mean, it's rainy and stuff, but it hasn't rained in a week or so. So, but it's actually been pretty warm. I mean, it's still kind of chilly, but it's been pretty nice.
That's good. It's been rather hot here. Got up to 89 yesterday. Got up in the mid-80s today. It's not supposed to get out of the 60s on Monday, though. We got the next big cold front coming, which is why I'm kind of worried about the weekend weather there in Gainesville. But it is actually raining in Gainesville now, so hopefully the front passes through before tomorrow night and they're able to get their first round of eliminations done at the Gator Nationals and won't have to worry about the weather on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put the phone down 1 second because this neighbor that I'm going by likes to call the cops on me all the time. So 1 second.
Okay. Well, we're standing by for our first guest this evening. We'll go ahead and hit another song by Ron Pisana and the Pit Crew, Dirt Track Racing.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jack Baldwin from GT Sport Racing, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder.
Welcome back to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. We're still standing by for our next guest who may or may not be calling in, but if not, we've got another one scheduled in 10 minutes, so we're all set for this evening. I didn't hear any insane sirens in the background, so I'm assuming you're doing okay.
I'm actually on my driveway now, so...
Scary.
I think I'm in the clear.
There you go. It's a really busy weekend of racing here in the Sunshine State. They've got the Gator Nationals in Gainesville, and they've got the 12 Hours of Sebring in Sebring, so... Should be a... There are actually some insane people, including some of the Team Chevy PR people, who are going to try and do both races, and that's an awful lot of driving. I've thought of that in the past a couple times, but it, like I said, it's an awful lot of driving, and I'd prefer to limit my racing intake to one race per weekend, unless it's a sort of thing like the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg last week, where they had race after race after race after race on the same track. That was kind of cool.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. As I stated, our next guest this evening is Bobby Perez, who looks like he's on the line. So stand by 1 second. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. You there?
I am.
All righty. Since everybody's with everybody right now. Sorry, I'm not a multitasker. All right. So, Mr. Perez, how did you get your start in racing?
I started out at 5 racing in go-karts. I moved up to the ranks from go-karts in the quarter midgets, from quarter midgets into Legends cars, and from Legends cars up into Super Late Model, where I am right now.
Sweet. And of all of the things that you have been able to race in the past long time, which has been your favorite and why?
Probably Legends cars. Because they're light, fast, and they're a handful to drive.
I see. And how many different tracks would you say that you have raced in the past, long time?
I've been to probably a dozen different tracks throughout the Northwest and Canada.
That's pretty cool. What has been the most challenging part about racing for you?
Most challenging part, just trying to adapt to the different tracks that I go to for the first time. Trying to figure out how to set the cars up and figure my braking points and stuff out.
I see. Would you consider yourself a role model for little children or anybody in general?
Yeah, a lot of the little kids at the tracks look up to us being at my young age and where I'm at in racing.
Yes. So what has been the favorite part about racing for you?
Meeting the new people, getting to see different parts of the U.S. and just traveling.
Mm-hmm. So, in your intro here, there's a couple big races coming up for the super late models in the Northwest. Which race are you most looking forward to?
Probably the Summer Showdown at Evergreen.
Ah, yes. Good old Evergreen. Is there any other big race you're looking forward to?
We're going to try to make the snowball. We're going to try to go back to Five Flags this year and do the snowball derby in December.
Of the races coming up, which do you feel will be the most challenging race for you?
Probably trying to get into the Summer Showdown.
Can you explain a little more into detail what the Summer Showdown is about?
It's a big shootout that Evergreen Speedway's started putting on in 2012. They're trying to bring the Northwest Tour type big races back, like they used to have late 80s, early 90s. Just trying to get the racing back in the Northwest. Trying to rebuild the late models after the tour.
Yeah, well, that sounds very interesting. Well, Mr. Perez, that is about the extent of my questions. So now I'm going to hand you on over to the actual show host, Mr. Adam Sinclair out of Florida.
You mentioned you're going to be trying to race in the race at Five Flags Speedway. How many other races in Florida are you planning, or is that the only one you're planning to go to try and hit this year?
We're going to try to hit the Snowball Derby and maybe Governor's Cup. We're still, it depends on how the season goes up here in the Northwest.
Yeah. And what's your favorite track that you've competed on?
Probably my favorite track is either Wenatchee or Evergreen Speedway on the 5/8 mile.
And what's your ultimate racing goal?
If we move up, we move up, but I want to try to help other kids come up through ranks and give them opportunity.
That's awesome. We wish you the best of luck, and thank you very much for coming on the show this evening.
Yep. No problem. Thank you. See you.
Our final guest this evening is Chase Briscoe.
An open wheel racer by trade, Chase Briscoe made his ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards debut with Cunningham Motorsports at Lucas Oil Raceway in 2015, finishing a solid 10th after qualifying 5th. Later in September, he finished a career-best fifth at Salem Speedway after qualifying seventh.
Chase Briscoe finished fourth in the Lucas Oil 200 driven by General Tire at Daytona in February. Briscoe qualified third after having the fastest time in the first practice session. That was the time we were planning on having him on the program originally, but his schedule didn't quite work out that way, and we're pleased to have him on this evening. He's supposed to be calling in within the next moment or two. So while we're standing by, let's go ahead and listen to another commercial about this weekend's NASCAR action at the Auto Club Speedway.
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3-car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the broom. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.
Who's your pick for the winner of the Auto Club Speedway this weekend?
You know, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. Yeah, just because I feel like the Busch brothers have been doing really good lately. And Kyle has really been dominating, like, every series. So I'm going to go with him. How about you?
I think that's probably a pretty good bet, but I'm going to think that Kyle Busch might win on Friday. But he's probably not going to win, or he might win on Saturday, but he's probably not going to win on Sunday. I'm going to go with Kurt Busch on Sunday just to have a Busch brothers sweep this weekend.
That is very plausible.
I know it's going to be an awful hot race out there this weekend. It's going to be won't be quite as hot as it was in the past, but it definitely won't be a cool race there in California. So hopefully they've got their cool suits working and their little air boxes all set, and they're ready for a long, warm race there.
And in the meantime, you're preparing for hopefully a nice weekend, but could also be very rainy.
It could be. I know it's probably going to be rainy there on Saturday. I'm kind of prepared for driving up 300 miles in pouring rain. But hopefully by the time we get to the track, it'll have let up enough so that it won't be too bad. And they'll be able to get some action done on Saturday and have a full day of action on Sunday. So it should be pretty good.
Yeah. Who are you picking to win the Gator Nationals in, well, every class, I guess?
Okay. Let's go with the Pro Stock. We'll go with Erica Anders just because she's a reigning champion. She's done really well there. I'd like to pick the guy who we're going to have on next week, but I know this is his first race he's got this season, and I'm pretty sure that he might be competitive, but I don't think he'll pull it off in the end. So I'm going to go with Erik Anders for Pro Stock. For Top Fuel, I'll go with Antron Brown. Again, he's a past champion. Plus, he was born on the same day I was, so that gives him a little bit of an edge in my book, you know. And for Funny Car, I'm going to go with Courtney Force, just because she's had a pretty good start to the season, and I think she'll be just as dominant this weekend.
Yeah, I think those are pretty good picks.
Yeah, I think the Antron Brown's actually kind of, that's kind of cool. He's got the same birthday. My mother actually sat next to him on a plane trip from West Palm to Indianapolis a few years ago, and they were talking the whole time. So that was kind of cool.
And it's interesting, too, because you have the same birthdays, and she just happened to carry on a conversation with him. It's almost fake.
It is. I'm also hoping that it's not a big deal to pick up the press passes there because I haven't actually ever gotten press credentials at the Gator Nationals. I have had press credentials at other NHRA events, but I've never done it there in Gainesville, so I don't know exactly how that goes. I'm hopefully it's just as smooth as it was in Daytona the last time, where I just go in and pick them up, and away we go. So that should be, and I'm also curious to see how the seating is. I know they have general admission on almost one entire side of the speedway now, so that'll be different, and looking forward to it. I've been emailing lots of different PR people throughout the week, so we're going to have a show next week that'll basically be dedicated to a review of the Gator Nationals, so it should be, hopefully be a good weekend for the race.
Yeah.
Who are your picks for the winners this weekend?
Well, I'm going with Erica Enders for Pro Stock because she's definitely been stepping up her game a little bit. Funny car. You know, I think I'm going to have to go with Robert Height, even though I do think Courtney Force is perfectly capable of getting it done. I think Robert Height's probably going to have a little more bumps in him, so to speak. And I have to agree with you. I think Antron Brown is going to take top fuel because, you know, he's just a beast. And, yeah, he's really good. That's it, isn't there?
That is. Well, they also have they have Pro Mods and they have a Sportsman class, but I honestly don't know enough about the Pro Mods or the Sportsman classes to make any educated guesses. And they also have the Pro Stock bikes, and I'm pretty sure that Andrew Hines will be the one who takes Pro Stock bike because he has the experience on the Nitro Harleys, and he's done really well in the series as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they never run the bikes at Pacific Raceway.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of lame.
Maybe they're just not insane enough out there to go down a track on a nitro-powered motorcycle.
Maybe. That could be.
How do you feel about the concussion controversy from Will Power last weekend in IndyCar?
You know, I didn't even know anything about it until Facebook popped up and something about, Will Power and his concussion. What was that all about?
Well, apparently it was on Friday where he hit the wall pretty good, basically smashing in the entire right-hand side of the car. And then on Saturday, and he immediately got sick when he got out, and he turned green, laid down for the whole night and all that. On Saturday, he got up, went and qualified. Well, he practiced, and then he qualified on the pole, and he got out and threw up and all sorts of other fun things again, and he looked like he was about to die. He just really had a confused look on his face. He probably had a splitting headache. And then Sunday, he didn't compete. He decided not to go out in the morning practice, and in the afternoon they had the race, of course, and they had Oriel Servia, who was a former IndyCar driver. I think he kind of just travels around with the series hoping that somebody has an accident and he's able to hop in the car. So he took the car on Sunday. He finished okay, but he didn't have any experience in it. He only had like a 10-minute practice in the morning. But then when they tested Will Power on Saturday for his after he had been sick a few times, they found that he failed a concussion test. So they instituted the concussion protocol, and he went through that on Monday, and they found that he didn't actually have a concussion. He just had a really, really, really bad ear infection. And that's almost as bad. And he actually knew about the ear infection before he got into the car on Friday. So I think that might even be a little bit worse than having a concussion, because that causes you to be dizzy. It causes lapses in judgment. It causes you to be sick. All sorts of things. And he knew how sick he was when he got into the car on Friday. So there's really not much of an excuse for him to do that. As I stated in my piece that I published on Monday. It's a pretty bad thing, and I think that he put the team in danger, and he put the fans in danger, and himself. He put himself in danger as well by going out there, knowing how sick he was, and I think it's sort of a macho thing that pervades the paddock area, where they kind of think they can walk it off. They get in the car, they feel better, and they get out of the car, and they're going to collapse and die. Or it looked like they are anyway, and probably feel like they are too. So it brought up some issues in IndyCar, and I think they definitely haven't addressed all those issues, and I'm pretty sure that some of them they'll try and sweep under the rug, considering it wasn't actually a concussion. But as I stated, I think that the inner ear infection is actually a worse deal, and it's something they have to deal with as well.
Yeah, wow. I should have read that article. But I don't remember who it was by, but I was like, huh. And then I thought he just, you know, he must have wrecked or something and got a concussion. Mm-hmm. But, wow, that's crazy.
He has some definite issues there, and they knew that he had the inner ear infection. Tim Sindrick mentioned that in an interview on, I believe it was on Saturday, he mentioned that. They mentioned it on Sunday. They also mentioned the fact there was a stomach flu going around, but it wasn't the flu. It was the ear infection that caused him to feel that bad. So they're just trying to come up with excuses to say it wasn't a concussion, and the excuses they came up with don't make it seem any better. So.
No, and there really isn't any excuse for that.
No. As I stated, I think it's just sort of a walk it off type mentality. It's just the sort of thing they think it'll be better if they get in the car and they can power through it and then worry about what happens later. But what would happen if he passed out when he was in the car? If he had some sort of a thing like he had on Friday, where he may have looked aside for a second and then forgot where he was, and then all of a sudden he catches it and he's slammed into the wall already. How do you know there aren't other people there, the safety workers on the side, or another car? You know, just it opens up all sorts of issues that I don't think they want to deal with.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. So is he going to get in trouble? Or the team going to get in trouble?
No, I don't think so. It's Penske Motorsports. They have four there were 19 cars, I believe, or 20. They have like a quarter of the field. They're not going to, nothing's going to happen. A fifth of the field. They'll chastise him a teeny bit and make sure he doesn't do it again. And the next time when he comes down with some other sort of African sleeping sickness or some sort of weird thing, then they'll hit that next time.
Huh.
It's sort of the same sort of thing that used to happen and probably still happens in NASCAR when Dale Earnhardt had almost like a broken arm that he raced with one time, or he had all the concussion issues in the past, and he'd take a nap in his car, wake up, and go around in a circle. So they just don't want to deal with it, and it's not a good thing for them, not a good thing for the sport, and just not a good thing overall.
No, definitely not.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to reschedule Chase Briscoe once again, but that's fine. I know sometimes things pop up. So we'll deal with it as we deal with it, and hopefully he'll be on the program again next week or the following week or something like that. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other episodes on the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. As I stated earlier in the program, I've done a lot of articles this week about the IndyCar series, a review of the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, also some preview stories about this weekend's action of the 12 Hours of Sebring and the Gator Nationals. So be sure to check that out at the Racing News section of SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com or simply typing in palmbeachhappening.com. can also follow us on Twitter at PB Happening.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome, when we will once again delve into the wonderful world of modern motorsports with guests representing the top series in the nation and beyond.
Have a nice evening, and be sure to tune in to all the various different racing action around the country this weekend. See you next week.